This is Messianic Perspectives, and today we're going to talk about nothing. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello, and today our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick, is teaching What God Says About Nothing. I'll be back at the end of the program with a special message, so have your pencil and paper ready. And now, with today's message, here's Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. I'm your host, Gary Hedrick, and it's good to have you with us today as we continue our series of studies on what God says about nothing. And what we've been doing basically throughout the course of this study is just going through the Bible and looking at different passages where God talks about nothing. And today we'll be doing numbers 10 and 11. And then on the next program, we'll finish up with the last three, 12, 13, and 14. All right, here we go. Number 10 is about the good-for-nothing Christians. This is where Jesus talked about good-for-nothing Christians. And we're in the New Testament now. And this one's from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's where the Lord was talking about our responsibility to exert a positive influence on the world around us. And he uses two metaphors in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, first of all, we're supposed to be salt. And then he says, we're supposed to be light. But the Lord said something particularly interesting when he talked about the salt. He was talking to his disciples, and he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for what? Nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Matthew 5:13. That's the tenth nothing. Jesus here draws an analogy between Christians and salt. He says we are the salt of the earth. That is, we are a preservative. We are a disinfectant. We are a medicine. And yes, sometimes we are an irritant, just like salt will sting an open wound. But the point is, we make the world a better place, just like salt makes food taste better. But here's the thing. The Lord says if the salt loses its distinctive flavor, it no longer performs any useful function, so it has to be discarded. And likewise, if we compromise with the world and become so much a part of the world so that we are no longer distinguishable from the world, the Lord says we become good for nothing. Now listen to me. We live in a messed up world. People are hurting in so many ways. You wouldn't believe some of the mail and the email we get from people with problems and prayer requests. If you take your fingernail and dig down underneath the plastic Hollywood facade of glitter and glamour in this world, you'll find an underbelly of despair and heartache and futility. Just look at all the people committing suicide. Look at all the people who are killing other people in senseless acts of violence and hatred and vengeance. Sometimes they're just young kids. Yet there's so much anger and hostility. And then look at the media and the movies and the video games where this kind of violence and bloodshed is glorified. It's becoming part of our postmodern culture. And then we wonder why it blows up in our face, sometimes literally. So we really do live in a messed up world. And I say all of that in order to say this. This world needs salt. More than ever before, this world needs us. It needs you. It needs to see Jesus in us. We are the salt of the earth. So right there where you are, in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace, wherever God has placed you, how salty are you? All right, now let's move on to the 11th nothing in Scripture. And the lesson here is this. With God, nothing is impossible. And this one comes from the story of a young Jewish teenager named Miriam, Mary in English. Miriam was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. The Bible says an angel came to Miriam and said, "Don't be afraid, because you have found favor with God." Then he went on to tell her that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and that they should name him Yeshua, or Jesus in English. Yeshua comes from the Hebrew word for salvation. Well, of course, the question for Miriam was, how could she have a baby when she was still a virgin? So the angel explained that this would be no ordinary baby. The egg in her womb would be fertilized supernaturally by God Himself. It would be the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, at that point in the conversation, Gabriel must have noticed the look of shock and disbelief on Miriam's face. After all, what he was telling her was really unbelievable. 1,000 questions must have been swirling around in her head. First of all, this was an angel. Now, when someone says he received a message from an angel, what's your first thought? But here she was talking to an angel. She must have wondered if she was losing her mind. And this angel was asking her to believe that a virgin could have a baby. And even if it could happen, what about Joseph, the young man she was engaged to? What would he think? There were so many problems, so many obstacles. All of this was swirling around in her head. But listen to what Gabriel said. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Luke 1:37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So this is the 11th nothing in Scripture. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't limit God, my friend. Your extremity is His opportunity. When you think you've come to the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hold on. You might say, "Well, Gary, those are nice little platitudes, but you don't understand what I'm going through." And that's true, I don't. But you know what? I'm not even going to pretend to know what it's like to be in your shoes. But I can tell you this, I myself personally have been at the end of my rope so many times, I can tie any kind of knot you want. A slip knot, sailor's knot, square knot, figure eight, you name it. I've done them all. Been there, done that. And every time God has been faithful. Now, I have failed Him many times, more times than I'd like to admit. But you know what? He has never failed me, not even once. He always knows how things are supposed to turn out, even when we don't. You see, that's one of the many ironies that we experience as we go through life on this journey with God. It's like when the Bible says we're strongest when we're weakest. It's one of those ironies. In this case, the irony is that in those times when God seems farthest away and when we think He's not hearing us, that's when He's actually closest to us. So when you're confronted with obstacles that seem insurmountable, remember what Gabriel told Miriam, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." And in her case, look what God did. He took a situation that looked hopeless, because here was a teenage Jewish girl who was going to be pregnant out of wedlock. She could lose her fiancé, because how in the world could he be expected to understand something like this? I mean, there are all kinds of things that could go wrong. But Miriam trusted God, and look what God did. He used her to bring the Messiah into the world. It changed the world forever and opened the gates of salvation to all the nations, including you and me, all because a young Jewish girl 2,000 years ago was willing to trust God when He told her, "Nothing shall be impossible." And just think about Joseph. Think about the faith it took for him to fulfill his role in all of this. He married a woman who was already pregnant, and he was also visited by an angel who delivered a message from God telling him what to do. He must have thought he was crazy, but he obeyed. He did what God told him to do. Now, he could have said, "Wait a minute. You know, I never signed up for anything like this. This is not my cup of tea. Thank you very much, but no thanks. Angel or no angel, there's no way I'm going to do this." But he didn't say that, did he? In fact, it says when he woke up from his dream, He realized the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do something, and he did it. You see, he didn't argue, he didn't doubt, he didn't complain, he didn't rationalize, he just did what God told him to do. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? Remember when we were talking about Abraham a few days ago? It was the same thing. God told Abraham what to do, and Abraham did it. That was it. Very simple. No arguing, no rationalization. God says it, we do it. You see, there are two different kinds of people in this world. There are talkers and there are doers. Some people just talk, talk, talk. You know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. They just talk up a storm about all the things they're going to do. But then there are other people who just get out there and get her done, get the job done. I mean, they get more work done before breakfast than the talkers get done in a whole day. And that's the pattern throughout Scripture. The achievers and the people who God blesses are the doers. They don't just talk about it. They actually get out there and do it. But getting back to Yosef, or Joseph, he's really one of the unsung heroes of this whole nativity story. It took just as much faith for Joseph to do what he did as it did for Mary or Miriam to do what she did. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. This is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, take care. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, or in your car. If you found today's program especially helpful and insightful, you'll be glad to know that we have placed the entire series of programs on one compact disc. The title is What God Says About Nothing. It's available for your gift of just $6 or more to help us keep this program here on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As Dr. Gary Hedrick continues What God Says About Nothing, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.